We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
Please open up your Bibles to Jonah chapter 2. We're going to be in Jonah chapter 2. If you weren't here last week, or if you were here last week and you were just zoned out, we're going through the book of Jonah. I'm going to be doing a sermon series over the book of Jonah for the month of June. There's four Wednesdays in June, and there's four chapters in the book of Jonah, so it just kind of works out. So you should be in Jonah chapter 2. Last week, we talked about God's abundant grace in the book of Jonah, and specifically chapter 1, how God told Jonah that he needs to go to Nineveh. But then Jonah said no, and he decided to run the other way. But then God pursued Jonah with a storm, and he pursued Jonah, and he continued to pursue the Ninevites. And then Jonah convinced the sailors that they needed to throw him overboard in order to make the storm stop. And then when they threw him overboard, the storm stopped. And then we left off where God was able to send a fish to scoop up Jonah, and he was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now chapter 2 comes along, and it's kind of interlude to this story. It can even seem like interruption to the narrative, because if you look at the end of chapter 1, it said, "Now that the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." And then if you skip to verse 10 of chapter 2, it says, "And then the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land." But then you have nine verses that seemed kind of like an interlude to the story. And sometimes to our minds, we think that these verses can be maybe a little bit unnecessary. And we read this prayer and like, what is it talking about? But when we come to a passage like this, we need to remember that God inspired every single word of his scriptures. And we come with a passage like this, it can be a little bit hard to interpret. But when we look at this, we need to ask ourselves and ask God to show us, if this passage was missing in the scriptures, what would be missing? If this passage weren't here, what would be missing? And then you read this prayer, and if you're like me, the first time you read it, you're like, what in the world is he talking about? Have you ever read something in the Bible and you say, what in the world is the Bible trying to say? That happens to me a lot of time, not anymore. So we're going to be reading Jonah chapter 2. So if please follow along. We're going to read the first two verses. "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell I cried, and thou heardest my voice." Now, the reason why I'm stopping in verse 2, because we need to understand some context of when and where Jonah is praying. We need to understand some context. We need to understand the occasion and the circumstance of Jonah's prayer. Because if we don't, this prayer is going to get very confusing, and some of the interpretation that we're going to be talking about can become convoluted. So when you're reading chapter 2, it says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord out of the fish's belly." So Jonah's in the fish's belly, and he's praying. And then verse 2 is the content of Jonah's prayer. He said, "I cried by reason of mine affliction." So Jonah's not crying in the belly of the fish. He's praying to God, telling him that he cried by reason of his affliction. What was his affliction? His affliction was being in the bottom of the sea. So here we have Jonah. After he was cast into the ocean and swallowed by the fish, he prayed. Verse 2 is the contents of his prayer. Jonah was cast into the sea. Jonah cried out. God sent the fish to rescue Jonah. Jonah prays, and then Jonah is vomited out. Now notice here the larger structure of what's going on. You have Jonah cast into the sea. He cries. Then he prays. And then he's cast out of the sea, and then in the next chapter, he cries to Nineveh. So in the center of casting and crying, and casting and crying, we have Jonah praying. So scripture is written in such a way we need to have focus on what the contents of Jonah's prayer is. So now I'm going to be reading Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell I cried, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters can pass me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains, and the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. We're going to be looking at this prayer. And like we said last week, when we come across the Bible, we need to be thinking about what is the Bible saying about God. And then once we discover that, we can worship God and then implement this text into our lives and worship him throughout the course of our life. So we're going to be looking at this prayer, finding out what it means, how it reveals God, and then apply it and implement it to our life. So the first is a cry and a prayer. First point is a cry and a prayer. Last week, we looked at how Jonah was trying to commit suicide by convincing the sailors to cast him into the sea. One question remains, though. If he was trying to convince the sailors to cast him into the sea, why didn't Jonah cast himself into the sea? Have you ever asked yourself that? The sailors, they even resisted at first. He was like, hey, guys, cast me into the sea and the storm will stop. And they said, no, we don't want to do that. So they tried to row harder and harder. But then they were finally convinced that Jonah was right, and they decided to cast him into the sea. So why did not Jonah cast himself into the sea? The sailors didn't want to do this, but Jonah understood he was putting his faith in pagan men. But not just in pagan men. He knows that God is sovereign, and whatever happens to him is because God is letting it happen, just like with the mic, and just like with the suitcases in Kosovo, and just like with the bus at camp. God is sovereign. He realizes that even though he's putting his life in the hands of the pagan sailors, he's really putting his life into the hands of God. And the reason is that he's doing this is that in his heart, he was devised to not go to Nineveh. To the point of death, he would not go to Nineveh. He thought, surely God will not kill me for disobeying him. Surely God will not kill me for not going to Nineveh. He was testing God. He was saying, I'm not going to throw myself in the sea. I'm going to make you throw me in the sea because I'm testing you. When we test God, we always get put in our place. Jonah was testing God, and he got put in his place. Jonah gets what he ultimately wants. Remember in chapter 1 last week when we talked about, it says twice that the reason Jonah was fleeing is because he wanted to flee from the presence of the Lord. He said it twice. He wanted to flee from the presence of the Lord. Jonah ultimately gets what he wants. Death over grace. Separation from God. Scripture says that Jonah says he is out of the sight of God. He gets what he wants. But then when he gets what he wants, he quickly changes his mind. He's at the bottom of the sea. And then Jonah realized that the only way to truly get away from God is to be eternally separated from him. The only way to truly get away from God is to be eternally separated from him. He says once he was in the bottom of the sea, he was looking towards God's holy temple where he knew that God was dwelling. And he thought he could get away from God, but God would not relent. So he wished for death because hell isn't just tormenting flames. Hell is eternal separation from God. And this is where Jonah thought he was going in the bottom of the sea. He says, out of the belly of hell, he cried out. He thought he could see the bars of hell in the bottom of the sea. And he realized, I can't get away from God truly and then come back. If I get away from God and I'm truly cast out of God's presence, it's going to be forever. And he realizes this. He says that the waters and the depths were closed in around him to the bottoms of the mountains, where the roots of the mountains are, at the very depths of the earth. The weeds were wrapped around his head. I'd ask myself, how do weeds get wrapped around your head? How does seaweed get wrapped around your head? If Jonah was cast into the sea, and he was cast into the sea feet first, and the seaweed was on top of the ocean, his feet would have been wrapped up, right? And his legs would have been wrapped up. If the seaweed was on the bottom of the ocean floor, the sea floor, he wasn't in the ocean, and he got cast in, his feet would be in the seaweeds, right? The only way for his head to be wrapped up in seaweed is if Jonah was upside down, cast into the sea. So here we have Jonah, upside down, being dragged down by seaweed in the bottom of the sea, thinking that he is going towards his doom. Jonah says that he knew his fate would be forever in verse 6. Jonah realized that the only way to truly get away from God is to be eternally separated from him. Jonah thought, this thing is permanent. So here is Jonah, upside down at the bottom of the sea. He's at the gates of his eternal doom, separated from God. He finally got what he wanted. And then he cries out. When Jonah cries out, it's not just a whisper. Oh, God, please help me if you can. No, Jonah cries out, God, help me, I need you. And I think some of you have been there before, where you realize the only person who can help you is God. We've all been there, sitting alone with the bills piled up, or waiting in the hospital waiting room or in the hallway, waiting on the news, or you get the devastating news, or you realize you just can't make ends meet, and there's nothing left to do except to cry out to God. And this is what Jonah is feeling right now, upside down in the bottom of the sea, thinking that he's facing his eternal doom. And he cries out, God, help me, I need you. And sometimes we put ourselves in this situation. Sometimes it's not self-inflicted, but with Jonah here, it is self-inflicted. He put himself in this situation. Jonah was here because of his disobedience. I want to ask you, where has your disobedience ever taken you? Has sin ever taken you anywhere where you'd like to be? Are you running from God? Is your disobedience causing you to be far from God? Sometimes God has to bring you to the bottom so that you're forced to see how far you are from him. Because when you're in the bottom, the only way to look is up. When we're running from God, sometimes God will take us to the bottom so that we can only see up. And some of you just need to cry out to God this evening, later on tonight, because you just need to stop. You just need to stop running. You just need to stop disobeying. You just need to stop going to that place or talking to that person or flirting with him or flirting with her. Stop going to that website and just stop and cry out to God and ask for him to help you. Tonight, if this is you, I encourage you to cry out to God and ask him for help. Because as we see in the text and as we see in our point two, God hears and delivers. Point two, God hears and delivers. Join me in verse 6. Jonah continues his prayer. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, and earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that what I have owed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. God hears, and God delivers. Jonah cried out, and God delivered him. Now, the delivery may not look exactly how you think it should look. It may not be exactly what you think it should be. And I wonder, what did Jonah have in mind when he was asking God to deliver him? Do you think Jonah thought, I'm going to cry out to God for him to deliver me, and I know he's going to send a fish to scoop me up so that I can breathe in his belly and survive? I don't think that's what Jonah had in mind. Maybe a rope from a boat, grab on, get pulled up. Maybe a whale he could ride on top of, or maybe an anchor he could ride, or maybe just a miraculous ascension. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Maybe one of those. I don't think Jonah had in mind that a fish was going to come and scoop him up and deliver him. When Jonah was in the bottom of the sea, upside down, with seaweed wrapped around his head, crying out to God, and then all of a sudden, this Godzilla of a fish starts swimming towards him. Do you think he thinks, oh yes, my deliverance, here fishy, fishy? No, Jonah's terrified. Your deliverance may not come in the way that you think it should. It may not come in the timeline. It may not come in the way. But God will deliver you when you cry out to him. Jonah cried out to God, and God delivered him. It probably took him a little while to realize that this was God's hand of deliverance. In fact, it says in verse 17 of chapter 1 that Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. We know that the fish was taking him back to Nineveh, but did it really take 3 days and three nights for him to get back to Nineveh? Because if you read chapter 1, it doesn't seem like he's on the boat for a whole 3 days. It seems like he's on the boat maybe a few hours, and then the storm comes, and he's cast into the sea, and then the fish comes and swallows him up. And we know a fish can actually swim faster than a boat. So what took so long for the fish to get from where Jonah was to where Nineveh was? If you read this in one swoop, If you read this without chapter divisions, which the Bible didn't have until the 12th century, as people added them in, it goes straight from verse 17, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And then it says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord. And then after his prayer, after he says, salvation is of the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Jonah waited 3 days to pray to God, 3 days to surrender, 3 days to repent, 3 days to realize that this was God's way of delivering him. It took him a whole 3 days to pray. The whole idea of his prayer is that he is thanking God because he realizes salvation comes from him. It took all of this for Jonah to realize that salvation comes from the Lord, and then he prays. As soon as he says, salvation is of the Lord, God speaks to the fish, and he's vomited out onto dry land. So he says, salvation is from the Lord. And then God spits him out on the shores of Nineveh and says, yes, now go and tell that to the Ninevites. Now go and tell that to the Ninevites. God tells him, I want you to go preach to the Ninevites. He says, no. And then God puts him in a difficult circumstance. He was drowning because of his sin. His soul and his body were going to be destroyed because of his sin. So then he cries out to God, and God delivers him. And he says, salvation is of the Lord. And then God says, yes, now go tell that to the Ninevites, because how can they cry unless they hear? And how will they hear unless they have a preacher? Go tell the Ninevites, salvation is of the Lord. And this is what Jonah was refusing to do. Have you noticed that Jonah hasn't prayed in the book of Jonah until now? When God told him to go, he didn't even say no. He didn't even pray a prayer, God, please help me to do this. Or he didn't argue with God. He just bolted. And then on the boat, when all the pagan sailors were actually praying to their gods, Jonah wasn't praying. He refused to pray. He refused to repent. And then he was cast into the sea. He didn't really pray. He just kind of yelled out and cried. And then he got scooped up by this big fish. He was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. And then he decides to pray. Then he decides to pray. What does it take for you to actually pray to God? Beyond just your routine prayers of asking God to bless your food, or before you go to bed, before you travel, or before your daily devotions, what does it take for you to actually seek the face of God and to truly thank him for what he's done in your life, and to truly want to seek his face before you seek his hand, to trust his character when you can't see him working in your life? What does it take for you to pray? You don't have to wait until you're desperate to turn to God. You don't have to wait till you're desperate to turn to God. You can seek him right now. You can seek him right now. So not only is Jonah delivered by the fish, God was actually kind enough to have the fish vomit him out on dry land right where he needed to be. He could have asked the fish to vomit out in the ocean. He could have floated back up and caught a boat. Or he could have been vomited out way up north or way down south and he would have to travel. But God told the fish to vomit him on dry land. Notice here, the fish obeyed God. An animal obeyed God. The sailors obeyed God. The waves and the winds obeyed God. But Jonah has yet to still obey God. And sometimes that's us. All of creation bows before God and worships him and obeys God. But we don't obey God. We stand in defiance. He is stubborn, and he chooses to go the unnecessarily hard way. God tells him to go to Nineveh. He refuses, goes through all this. And then he's right back where he started, right before God's about to tell him to go to Nineveh again. The only difference between now and then is that he's covered with a fish vomit. It reminds me of what my parents used to tell me. They said, you can obey now, or you can get a spanking and then obey. You can either obey now, Jonah, or wind up in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights and then obey still. God's grace is persistently pursuing Jonah and pursuing the Ninevites. And even though Jonah was in disobedience, God delivered Jonah when he cried out to God. God delivered Jonah because God delivers those who cry out to him because he hears our prayers. God delivers those who cry out to him because he hears our prayers. Do you believe that this evening? That God delivers those who cry out to him because he hears our prayers? There are three circumstances where we need to remember this. Three circumstances where you must not forget that God delivers those who cries out to him because he hears our prayers. There's three circumstances. The first circumstance is when you're praying for someone else. When you're praying for someone else, when you're burdened to someone else, you need to remember that God delivers those who cry out to him because he hears our prayers. Perhaps this evening you're so burdened for someone else. You know that they're far from God. It could be a neighbor you know is not saved. It could be a loved one who has fallen from the faith, or a family member who is running away from God, who's living in sin. Perhaps you're so burdened for this person, but you need to take heart in this passage because God heard Jonah even when he was deep inside the fish. And if God can hear Jonah when he's deep inside the fish, when he's at the bottom of the seafloor, he can certainly hear you no matter how burdened your heart is for your loved one. You must remember, he has a perfect plan for this situation. It took Jonah 3 days in the stomach of a fish to even pray. It may take your loved one even longer to finally decide to turn to God, but don't give up. Keep on praying because God hears us when we cry out to him because he loves us. If they are a child of God, if they are truly a child of God, they will come back. Hebrews says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he will bring back either in this life or he'll take them out and in the next life, but he will take them back. I had a professor at Moody Bible Institute. His name was Dr. Christopher Yuan. Dr. Christopher Yuan. And he was one of the kindest, godliest, wisest, best teachers I've ever had at Moody or anywhere else for that matter. And I admired this man so much because he was a great teacher and he loved his students and he loved the Lord and he loved the Bible. One day, instead of lecturing, he decided that he was going to give his testimony. And I didn't know this, but he actually went around the country and gave his testimony at events, and he even went around the country and gave his testimony. So I was really eager to hear his testimony when he told us that he was going to tell us this. So I come in and I listen. And what God did in this man's life completely blew me away. He said he grew up in a home that was not Christian. When he was 16, he decided that he was a homosexual. When he moved out in college, he started living this way openly. In college, it broke his parents' heart. When he was doing this, his mom and dad's marriage started to fall apart. Not necessarily because of him, but I know it didn't help. So his mom decides the only way to solve this is that I'm going to kill myself. So she decides to make one trip to where her son Christopher was going to college, say her goodbyes, and then take her life. But before she goes, for some reason, she doesn't understand why, she decided to stop by a minister. And he gave her a pamphlet on homosexuality. And on the train there, she read that pamphlet. And in the pamphlet, it shared the gospel. And she actually got saved on the train on the way there. Visited her son, came back, told her husband. They both got saved, and they started praying fervently for Christopher. But meanwhile, Christopher, he got expelled from his school. So he decided to move down to Atlanta, where he became a drug supplier for drug dealers. And he was supplying marijuana and other drugs to people in 11 different states. He said that he was having multiple partners per day. But then his parents decided to come visit him. And they weren't shoving the gospel down his throat, but he kicked him out the day that they visited. And they tried to leave a Bible in his home, and he took the Bible and threw it in the trash. It wasn't long after that that his mom decided, I'm going to pray fervently for my son Christopher. She fasted every single Monday, and one time she even fasted for 39 days. She had a prayer wall where she would pray for hours and hours and hours. She would not give up on her son. And then one day, the police came at Christopher's door and arrested him. He had dealt a total of 9.2 tons of marijuana. He ended up in prison, sentenced to 12 years to life. But then he came across a Bible in the garbage. Not the same Bible, obviously, but a Bible in the garbage. And he opened it up and started reading it. And through reading that Bible, he got saved. and he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And then his sentence got reduced from 12 years to 3 years. He applied to go to Moody Bible Institute while he was still in prison. Got accepted, got his bachelor's in Bible. Then after that, he got his master's in biblical exposition. And then after that, he got his doctorate. And now he goes around teaching people about the transformational power of Jesus Christ. And his parents never gave up praying for him because they knew that when you cry out to God, God will deliver. When you cry out to God, God will deliver. Do not underestimate the transforming power of Jesus Christ. And if you're praying for someone in here tonight, do not stop praying. Do not stop crying out to God because he hears your prayers. It may not happen on your timetable. It may not happen the way you want it. It took Jonah 3 days to even decide to cry out in the belly of the fish. And it took Christopher's mom 7 years of praying fervently for him to finally accept Jesus Christ. But do not stop praying to God. When you're praying for someone else, remember that God delivers those who cry out to him because he hears our prayers. The second point when you must realize this is when you're praying for yourself. When you're praying for yourself. Maybe you're the one who has a bad diagnosis. Maybe you're the one who has the financial debts to pay. Maybe you're the one who can't make ends meet. Maybe you're the one who is at the end of the rope. The same principle applies to you. Don't stop praying because God still hears you and God has not given up on you. This goes a little bit deeper than just remembering that God hears you and you should not stop praying because he hears us. If you carefully read Jonah, God delivered him not for Jonah's sake alone, but also for the sake of others. God delivered Jonah not for Jonah's sake alone. Yeah, he wanted to deliver Jonah, but his ultimate plan was to send Jonah to the Ninevites so that he could save the Ninevites. God always has a purpose in your pain. God never wastes a hurt, and there's always a reason behind the suffering. It's always beyond you and your world, but God may not reveal that to you. When you're praying for yourself, remember that God hears you and he has a greater plan. And he has a better idea of what needs to be happening. Please remember that with the sovereign God, there was always a purpose behind the pain. With the sovereign God, there is always a purpose behind the pain. 1 Peter 1:7 says that the trying of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold, even fine gold, though it be tried with fire, should be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ Jesus. The trying of your faith, precious than gold, though it be tried with fire, will be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ Jesus. When you're praying for yourself, do not forget that God hears and he has a plan, he has a purpose in your pain. And that oftentimes God will use trials to bring up the dross in your life so that you can clean off and look into you and see his own image. Your suffering, trial, or hardship may not be like Jonah's, but Jonah's was self-inflicted. But please remember to not only pray, but continue to bear in mind that God knows what he is doing. Sometimes I think that we confuse praying better for praying harder. You can pray hard all you want, but we need to get specific with God. We need to get specific with God. I saw a funny picture the other day, and it was said, if we talk to people like we talk to God. And it was this man talking to his wife, and he said, Emily, can you please just go to the store, Emily, and just get some milk, Emily, and just bring it back to the house, Emily. And sometimes I think when we pray to God, we're not conscious of what we're actually saying. He gets specific with God. Praying harder doesn't always mean praying better. Ask God for what you want. Come to him and reveal to him what you want and cry out to God because he hears you. Whatever you do, don't stop praying. God hears you and he has a plan and he knows what he's doing. Are you going to be content with what God's doing in your life? You're going to be like the Israelites, just enough. Just in time. Sometimes it's about learning to be content with what God puts in our life. Just enough, just in time. Are you content with just enough, just in time? When you think the bills aren't going to line up, do you want to have extra? Are you relying on yourself for deliverance? Are you crying out to God like Jonah was, upside down on the bottom of the seafloor, crying out to God, just enough, just in time? Don't stop crying out to God because he hears you. God delivers those who cry out to him because he hears our prayers when you're praying for someone else, when you're praying for yourself, and even when you haven't prayed in a while. Even when you haven't prayed in a while. The third and last circumstance where you must remember that God hears you is when you haven't prayed in a while. Look at Jonah. He turned to God as a last resort. We just talked about how it took Jonah all this time to finally pray. He didn't pray when God told him to go. He just didn't even say no. He just bolted. When he was on the ship, the sailors were praying to their gods, but Jonah didn't pray. He refused to pray. When he got cast into the bottom of the sea, he didn't pray. He just cried out. And then he was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. And then he prayed. But God still heard him. And when he said, "Salvation is of the Lord," he was vomited out. And when he cried in the bottom of the sea, God sent the fish to deliver him. Jonah hadn't prayed in a while, but God still heard him. And if you're in here, and you haven't really prayed sincerely in a while, God still hears you. God still hears you. I urge you, pray to him before it's too late. Every day that you wait, the consequences for your lack of prayer will get worse and worse. Not to say that those who do pray have perfect lives by any means. Look at the Apostle Paul. He had a very difficult life. He was persecuted. He was whipped. He was beaten. He was stoned. He was thrown in prison multiple times. He was actually even on a boat that crashed. But you'll never find a more joyful, content, satisfied, and happy man on earth because he prayed and he put his hope in the Lord. Because he prayed and he put his hope in the Lord. The all-knowing one created you and designed you to be in fellowship with him. You weren't designed to live apart from God. You weren't designed to not pray. You weren't designed to not pray. Think about, do people use NASCARs to pull boats? Or do people use pickup trucks to race NASCAR? Or do you use a saw to hammer a nail? Or, I had another illustration, but I can't think of it. Do you use a saw to hammer in a nail? No, because if you do, it's going to require a lot more effort. You're going to do damage to the tool, do damage to the thing you're working on, and possibly do damage to yourself and other people around him. God designed mankind to be in fellowship with him. And when you're not praying, you're living contrary to the reality that God created you to be in. You're living contrary to the reality that God created you to be in. You were specially designed to be in fellowship with God. And when you're not doing what you were designed to do, you will have a much more difficult time. You will do damage to yourself, and you'll probably end up doing damage to those around you. I urge you, start now, start tonight. Call out to God and just open up your life to him. Even though you haven't prayed in a while, God will still hear you. Look at the life of Jonah. He was a despicable person if you actually think about what he was doing and the way he was acting. He hadn't prayed forever. But when he did cry out to God, God heard him and God delivered him. Start now. God delivers those who cry out to him because he hears our prayers, even in the belly of the fish, even when you've been disobeying, and even when God knows that you'll eventually run away again. Even when God knows that you'll eventually run away again, read the rest of Jonah. He was bitter towards God, but God still delivered him. And if you read history, the city of Nineveh turned back to their sin. And God eventually destroyed them, but he was still pursuing them. Even though God may know that you might run away again, God will still hear you in the moment because his grace is sufficient for you. God delivers those who cry out to him because he hears our prayers. Isn't it interesting that we know that God is our source of strength? And we know that we draw our life from him. Yet when life gets hard, oftentimes the first thing to go is prayer. We flee our source of strength when we need strength the most. Don't stop praying. God delivers those who cry out to him because he hears you. He heard Jonah in the bottom of the sea. He heard Jonah in the belly of the fish, and he hears you. When you're praying for the lost loved one, when you're praying for the astray person, when you're praying for yourself, or even when you haven't prayed in a while, God still hears you, and he wants to deliver you. Don't be afraid to cry out to him. He delights in the prayers of his children. Proverbs says that he delights in the prayers of a righteous one. And if you're a Christian, that means you're in Christ, and that means you have his righteousness. So he delights in your prayers. God will hear you when you cry out to him, even in the fish, and even in your circumstances. We have a God who hears us. We have a God who hears us.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.